Guest today, very special visit, one that I had not been able to get on the show before, Lizzie Long. Lizzie has a new album out, Dreaming Again, on Vine Records, and I'm so thrilled to have the opportunity to speak with her. She's a busy, busy person traveling with Little Roy Lewis and the Lewis family, plays every instrument that I know of, and writes a lot of songs. Her new album is a lot of her original compositions and two tunes by Andrew Lloyd Webber, and the first one comes from Queen. Keep Yourself Alive, written by Brian May, the guitar player for Queen. This is enjoyable. Thanks so much, Lizzie, for being available. And thank you for tuning in. You're going to enjoy this. There, to the audience of Unreal Bluegrass, you just heard a cut from Dreaming Again, an album by my guest today, Lizzie Long. What you heard was Keep Yourself Alive, and it is the very same song. I'm going to introduce Lizzie in just a second. It's written by Brian May, and yes, he was the guitar player for Queen. So Lizzie Long, as I introduce you, congratulations for pulling from such a wide variety of music to put this album together. And now I will say, welcome, Lizzie Long, to Unreal Bluegrass.
Hello, and I'm so excited to be here with you, Steve, and with all your Unreal Bluegrass fans.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
I tell you what, yeah, I was trying to do something a little different on this album, and I'm not a real big rock fan, but I did go see the movie Bohemian Rhapsody. I do like biopics or films like that.
Yeah, sure.
Just to see where folks come from.
Yeah.
And that was the song, apparently, that Freddie Mercury first started with on that show, at least in the movie he did. And it was a song Brian Mays wrote. And the more I listened to it, it had the 7-Eleven, you know, something. Most bluegrassers like the same chorus, kind of just repeats itself, you know?
Yeah.
But I thought, man, that'd be a great bluegrass song. But then I got into it, we decided to do it just like they did it, the same chord progressions and everything. And wow, that it really has, they're great musicians. I mean, to come up with that arrangement.
It's great. It's a great stretch for everybody. Yeah.
Oh, man, you would think it'd just be a 3-bar song, but I mean, that's a 3-chord song, but it is definitely not.
Yeah, it takes it up a notch part of the way through, where you kind of kick it up into another degree, I think, the way I hear it. It's a nice up-tempo version of it.
Well,
that's great. So you have tunes by people that we know very well, a lot of stuff that you've written. You have some Andrew Lloyd Webber songs on this album. Before we get there, let's talk about this album for just a minute, because I want you to mention the musicians, and I want to talk a little bit more about Lizzie Long before she got to this Dreamin' Again album, which is on Vine Records, V-I-N-E, I'll say. So on this album, you have with you a lot of great players.
I do. It's a bunch of heroes. I've always loved the Dolly Parton's, one of her first and second bluegrass albums. She had Stuart Duncan and Brian Sutton and Jerry Douglas and all of them. Well, we got Brian Sutton on this album and Stuart Duncan. As a fiddle player, he's just a big hero of mine. You know what I mean? I just love his fiddle playing. Then on bass fiddle, we have Dennis Krauts, which he is just absolutely killer on a bass fiddle, you know. And then we reached out. The record company actually picked Norm Kelly to play banjo. I really didn't know Norm. I know that he played with the Punch Brothers and stuff like that. But I ended up really growing on his playing, because he's kind of like a John Hartford feel to it, you know?
Yeah.
And I really love that, you know, versus where I've always had Little Roy, that's just like wide open 5-string in your face, you know? So it was definitely a change and a difference for me to have Norm on the album, because he's a more of a laid-back picker in that sense, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So, yeah. Here's the thing that threw me, and I didn't know this until we were chatting right before we began recording this segment. You list Brian Sutton as acoustic guitar and mandolin, and he does something else on this album that I've not heard him do before.
Yeah, you know, until you mentioned it, Mary, I did not realize that it wasn't listed, but yes. And I just happened to look over, and he plays dobro. I did not know, or resonator guitar, however the legal term for it.
No, they won't come and get you for that anymore.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, he play anything. It's ridiculous.
It's one of those guys.
And I mean, not just play anything. I mean, play everything well.
Yeah, play everything like it's their first and only instrument, and then they go turn around and pick up something else and do it again. It's sad for people like me who struggle.
Well, don't worry. I struggle, too.
You struggle, too. I've seen you many times, and you didn't know it, but I've seen you many times with the Lewis family, and you mentioned Little Roy. And I want to talk a little bit about, well, it's been a while since you've been playing with them, but let's talk a little bit about them. We'll get back to this album, the solo album from Lizzie. Lizzie Long, I want you to speak a little bit. I know it's been a long-time relationship with the Lewis family and Little Roy and traveling. It's a busy band.
Yeah, it's I wouldn't be where I am today without them, you know. When I became a foster child, Little Roy and them took me in. And then I ended up with the family. It was quite an experience because, you know, you get all the family things that bluegrass family bands have, and then you have the gospel world that was involved too, so you got that kind of the strictness of it, or the modesty. You know, most bluegrass bands, I'm not going to say they're not modest, but they're probably more relaxed setting than compared to if you're in a gospel outfit.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. It's almost like two different tones, if you want to speak of the tone on stage for gospel versus a bluegrass show. Yeah,
yeah, and it, for me, that was really hard from the situation I came from. But it, I mean, you know, I manage. They, you know, that's not my nail every tap now and then. As a young preteen, you know, you can only imagine coming from where I came from and then into that scenario. And then now we're just straight bluegrass. And it's not that I have my face is not strong or anything. I just, you know, just a little bit more relaxed feeling. You don't have to feel so uptight, I guess. For me, it felt kind of uptight.
No, I think you're making a very valid statement. If you're going to do an entire set of gospel music, it's going to be pretty, we'll use the word formal.
Right.
You know, because you, and it, not that it won't be loaded with passion, it's just that it'll be a different stage presentation.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but you know what? We had so much fun, though. I mean, it was a lot of laughs, and Little Roy always cut up.
He's always funny. Yeah.
Even with the gospel things, you know. Now, granted, he might not dress like drag coming out there like he does on the bluegrass shows, but he would still do funny hats and stuff. And he was just a genius at being able to pull off some of the stuff he did. You know what I mean?
And you know, he always had fun, and I always thought the audiences really enjoyed it. That was, they came, they wanted to see, of course, and hear the music and see the music being played, but they also wanted to see what Little Roy was going to do.
Yeah, they had an immense value for entertainment. You know,
right.
And this is nothing against other bands, but I just, you know, a lot of people these days just kind of sing and play. They don't really entertain, you know what I'm saying? I mean, there's some that do, but I'm just saying, I just don't see it like to that caliber, I guess.
No, what you're saying is, you know, there's several parts of being a successful bluegrass band. If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Lizzie Long, which I'm enjoying greatly. There's several elements. Not like I know I'm not in a band that performs, but you know, you have to get it down, you have to perform it, but you also have to recognize that the audience is there to be entertained, and people do it different ways.
Right.
But, so on one end of the spectrum, let's say you might have Little Roy. And on the other end of the spectrum, you'll have people who just stand still and play one song after the other. And so the difference being that one's very engaging, like Little Roy, and there's other examples. We don't need to list them, but some bands are phenomenal bands, but they just don't really bring in the audience.
That's right. And, you know, and that's what will make or break you, a band sometimes. You know, they're like, why can't I just get to that next level? And that might be it.
Could be.
Of course, I can't say that we're to that level. We just try our best to make everybody smile.
But that's a good point. That's a good point. Also, we'll finish this thought here real quickly. Also, the attire, the dress, the way that the band plays. You can have a band that maybe is not always going to appear in what you might appear in a gospel setting strictly. If that's your only set was going to be that, you might be dressed differently. Some of the bands are just, they look just like they just, and it's, I'm not downing that. Great musicians, great players, but...
Right,
but
they look like they just came off the bus.
Exactly, and maybe they have, and I understand that, but the audience is there. This is what I've always been told by a lot of smart people. The audience is not there to see themselves. They're there to be entertained by someone that's special, that they can't reach that level for a lot of different reasons.
Well, I've always been told dress for success. That's what they told me. Dress for success.
Or, yeah.
You know, you want to, I always feel like I'm trying to represent bluegrass music and represent my county, my home here in Georgia. So when I come out, I want folks to know that, you know, you got something good.
Yeah.
Not saying that you're, if you flip flops and shorts ain't good, but I, you know.
I know. I you, No, you're, really you're what you're saying. No, what you're saying is very accurate. That's what people come to, you know, that's what they want to see. They want to be entertained, but they also want to know that I'm not. Sometimes it works the other way. There are bands that are very successful, but I think what you're saying is really valid. Listen, on the new Dreamin' Again album, you have so many. You wrote a lot of songs. You have songs from a lot of people that we would recognize. The very first cut, Fireflies and Falling Stars, is Brink. I call him Brink. You do too. Mark Brinkman Louisa Branscum. A nice tempo song that you started off with. Maybe talk about that a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, they called. I love Louisa and Brink, and Brink. I've recorded several of his songs before on the first album, and he sent me that song, and I was just like, I absolutely love this song. I just love anything that I can relate to, and I can so relate to that song because I sit on my front porch in Enid times, and just, you know, they're such great writers. They know how to make words. They know how to make words put pictures in your head.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's a beautiful song. You do a nice, I got kind of a nice even tempo. I don't, whereas on Keep Yourself Alive, I think it's kind of, I would call it more up-tempo.
That's right.
The Dreamin' Again tune is a nice kind of even, that's one that you wrote, that's the title cut, which we'll talk about in a minute as we get into it, but it's just a really beautiful ballad, I think, and that's one that you wrote, I believe.
Yeah, and me, Wayne Hahn, and Joel Lindsay wrote that. I went out to California and spent some time with them, and we all sat and hashed around some stuff, and I had been gone a month. We had been, Little Roy and Lizzie had been out west, you know, and I was like, man, I'm really missing, I call him my beloved, my husband, and we just ended up writing that, you know, and,
beautiful.
I'm just a sucker for a sappy song.
It is, it's gorgeous. I mean, it really is, it's a beautiful, beautiful, song, and then that same combination of writers, and this was all, when I listened to this, I thought, well, let's make sure that I'm listening to Cherry Picking from the same, I think the same group of people contributed. That's kind of, it's kind of a funky song.
It's different, you know, I don't know what, we just thought Cherry Pick, the first album was Blueberry Pie, and we made a comment like a ha-ha about, you know, Cherry Picking, you know. And then we got going with it some more, and I was like, well, what is cherry picking? Doesn't cherry picking mean something else? And we were discussing that, you know, it means somebody, you know, just picking exactly what they want or being a certain way, you know. And so, and then, of course, picking, you know. So we thought, well, why not? So we went ahead and wrote a song around it. And it's kind of fun. It kind of has that Law and Order sound to me, you know, that.
Don't.
It kind of reminds me.
That's a good way to describe it.
That's not where I saw the idea from, but after we've done it, I was like, that kind of makes me think of Law and Order. You know?
I've played that song several times in the program prior to this conversation with you. It's just because it's, to me, it's so, I play other tunes also from Dreamin' Again, but to me, that's like, you would have to say that's Lizzie Long. That's a Lizzie Long creation, and it doesn't fit the norm. But then this whole album, although you nail it with so many great songs, like the one you mentioned from Brink and Louisa and Dreamin' Again, which we're going to talk about, because I want you to introduce that in a second. You got your Woman Scorned song. You got your
the Woman Scorned song is. You know, every time you go to a festival, I hear people saying they wrote this song that it ain't the Bluegrass Festival without a murder ballad. And I was like, well, you know, I've never written a murder ballad. So just to kind of put that off the bucket list, I went ahead and wrote a murder ballad. It's not particularly my favorite song. I don't like singing stuff about killing folks. But it's it's fun. It's catchy.
It is catchy. It's one of them. And you also have, you've got two tunes, which we'll talk about when I'll have you introduce Dreamin' Again, but I want to talk to you just a little bit about Andrew Lloyd. You gave him two cuts on your 9-song collection, Dreamin' Again. Where does that come from?
Well, when I was a little girl, my aunt played the piano, and she's the best in four counties down here in Georgia, and she taught me how to play piano, tried to teach me how to read music, but I learned it by ear, and she would take me to Broadway shows and plays and show me songs and stuff, and I just ended up loving Broadway and old Disney stuff, and Cats, the show Cats, she introduced me to all of that. So I've, even though I am definitely in love with bluegrass, I've always had that Broadway / vaudeville / cabaret thing behind me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I always felt like, and in fact, I've had several people tell me that, you know, like Little Roy is like, and us are like some of the last of the vaudeville acts you'll ever see, you know, with our slapstick comedy and stuff.
Yeah, well, you're good, yeah.
And so I was like, and I haven't really seen anybody do Broadway with bluegrass, and I was just trying to do something different, and I love Broadway, and not so much introducing Broadway to bluegrass as I am trying to introduce bluegrass to Broadway, you know,
well,
and I hope, you know, to get in that field a little bit with this, you know, and...
Well, you picked on some winners. Let's do this then, because we've teased it enough, and you've already talked about Dreaming Again. I'm talking to Lizzie Long. I want her to introduce to you the title cut from Dreaming Again. You've kind of talked about it a little bit. Give it just a little intro, then I will play Dreaming Again for the audience, and you and I will come back and talk a little bit more about Andrew Lloyd Webber's contributions to your album.
Yeah, here's a song that me and Wayne Hahn and Joel Lindsay wrote. I've been gone for a month, and I was missing my husband, and this is what we came up with, one called Dreaming Again.
All right, let's cut to that, and then we'll be right back and talk to Lizzie some more. I'm enjoying this so much. Let's play this tune, and we'll come back. We got a lot more to talk about. There, we built it up enough. There you hear Dreaming Again from the title cut of Dreaming Again from Lizzie Long's new album. My guest today, the album is on Vine Records.
That's right.
There's a lot of great music. You've already talked about the great musicians on it. And a lot of contributors of song to this thing, including as we were fading into Dreaming Again, the title cut. Not only do you pull from Andrew Lloyd Webber, you pull from two different plays.
I do. I pull from Cats and Phantom of the Opera. And Cats was just Phyllis Page that I can't think of her name. It's Page. Anyway, Elaine Page that sang it originally for me. That's the original person I saw sing it. I just loved it, you know. And I said, well, let's try it bluegrass. And we sat around, believe it or not, we sat around the piano trying to get the right key. It's very rangy, as you can tell, and very low. So that song, when you hear it, I'm at my lowest and at my highest.
Is that right?
Singing ability, yeah. I mean, I'm literally just like veins popping up my forehead trying not to that note I'm singing.
Well, I mean, honestly, if you're going to pick a challenging tune, and Andrew Lloyd Webber writes a lot of them, but Memory's got to be, that's the tune that I think everybody immediately hears it and knows it's Cats, but it's also
right.
A very, very daunting tune they have to take on, and you did it really well as you're describing the total range of your voice and starting out low enough to get it.
Yeah, it was definitely a challenging, you know. What's exciting, I don't know if I mentioned this or if you've read it in the things, but you know what was also great about this is I went to Capitol Records in Los Angeles and recorded these songs on Frank Sinatra and Judy Garland.
I didn't mention that, but I did read it, but I was going to ask you, so let's talk about that.
Yeah. I got to record on those mics in the same room that they did all their stuff in. And let me tell you, wow. It's a surreal moment when you're sitting there singing great songs on great mics that were used by great people.
Do you?
And people say, I can't make that much of newer mics to sound just as good. I don't know. It's something different about those Telefunken mics. They just catch everything. I mean, you can hear... It's like you can hear your breath, you can hear your tongue sliding on your teeth.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
I'm going to go back and listen for that now. If I can,
yeah,
hear your tongue sliding on your teeth in either one of these Andrew Lloyd Webber tunes, I'm going to figure I have pretty good earphones.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was just a surreal experience, and and then to sing bluegrass there. And then we sang the Phantom of the Opera song, too, which was really different for me. In fact, I have seen Phantom of the Opera many years ago, but I didn't really know the songs as good as I have, like, some of the other ones. So I had to learn it that day when we cut it in the studio. And, yeah, I just think it came off really well. And I don't know about everybody else, but see, I really listen to words. And even though these are Broadway songs, like Cats, you know, is talking about a cat, the words are still, you know, mean something, you know. You know, hold me, I mean, touch me, you know, it's just, yeah. That song is talking about just recognize me, I'm still here, love me, you know, I'm doing the best I can. And then, of course, Wishing You Were Here Again was missing somebody, you know, and I couldn't do it without you, and just words really mean a lot to me.
Well, I mean, and you are a multiple instrumentalist. I mean, I'm not going to blow past that at all. You see Lizzie, she's not only going to be singing these great songs, but you play different instruments, but you also sing, and I think singers, vocalists, listen to words for different reasons than like a normal person would, because I think you want to get, oh gosh, if you're singing into a microphone that Garland and Frank Sinatra sang, and you have to be thinking about how you're going to emphasize things, because they were so good at the way they could breathe life into those words. So I think that a vocalist like you probably listen to words to see how you're going to treat them in the song.
I do. You know, I know there's a lot of great singers out there, but down here in the South, too, you know, inflections of the way you sing.
Exactly, yeah.
The black folks down here, the way where we're raised, the black folks and all of us, you know, we all talk about the same, you know, and so the way we talk kind of reflects on the words.
Oh, sure.
And I know that there's some songs that I really have trouble with some of the words, trying to get them to sound normal to other people, because we say it so different. And I've actually had folks come to me and say, what is this word you're saying right here? You know? You know, I think you have to think about what the words, and then you want to try and get that feeling across with the way you reflect on it, you know. If it's, you know, a certain timbre to the word, or, you know, a harsh sound, or a grunt, or, a, you know, like a Conway Quitty rut, you know, something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's just so many things to think about to do it.
You have to. Well, it does. You have to interpret those words with your own feeling. Let me ask you this: I only know one other person personally who sang in front of those same microphones. It was Dean Martin's daughter. And she was singing some of her dad's songs right in the very same place. So let me ask you this: as you're singing into these microphones out in Capitol with these names you've mentioned, do you ever feel like that you're being kind of watched a little bit by the people that have been there before? Is that just something that would be in my mind, or that you're trying to please people that are long gone?
I feel like I'm trying to represent well, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even though it's a different genre, I'm like, I know my tone and my timbre is not Judy Garland or Frank Sinatra, but I have just as much charisma and feeling, I hope, as they did when they sang. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Judy, there's some songs that she sang that she really just poured her heart into. You know what I'm saying?
And you almost can't hear them any other way than the way she did them. Same with Frank. You hear that song, you really just hear their attack on the words and the way they emphasize things. It's really that's the song.
Right. And when you get in there, you think about how they said things and their mannerisms, how they maybe would move. I catch my fine self with my hands up in the air like Judy when I was singing those songs, just to get that emphasis in there, you know what I'm saying?
You know, now I've looked all through this CD, there's no pictures of that.
That's probably a good thing.
Well, somebody should have snapped a picture of you being Judy, or even Freddie Mercury on Keep Yourself Alive.
Freddie Mercury. Yeah. There's probably some stuff. Somebody probably put something on Facebook.
Okay. I've enjoyed this record so much, and I've enjoyed playing it, and I've always wanted to chat with you. So I'm so happy we had this opportunity.
I know. I don't know how we've missed it.
I don't know. I think it's your sister that always kind of gets in the way.
Oh, bless it. Well, we'll just have to do something about that now.
Every time I see Rebecca, I tell her, why do you hate your hands so much? because she beats into pieces working on the farm and all the equipment. And she just shreds her hands. I just think, my God.
Yeah, you can't tell her nothing. You just, you know, I tried to tell her how to fillet fish and stuff, but if she would just listen to me one time, Steve, she would know the right way to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I keep her away from sharp instruments. That's what I'd say. Yeah. That'd be the right way to do
it.
That's
the best way to start, yeah.
Well, we talked about so many great songs. I want to, one other one we mentioned just a little bit, Old Fashioned Heart. First of all, let me ask you this. I want you to introduce that song, and then I'll let you get back to your business. The album, Dreaming Again, is it available online on a website, or how do people get their hands on it?
Yeah, it's available on iTunes and Amazon and all those, CD Baby and all those great things. It's also available on our website at littleroyandlizzie.com.
Okay.
And, you know, if you want to do it old-fashioned way and get a hard copy, that's the way to do it. But everything else is definitely digital. You can get it digitally on iTunes
okay.
and get stuff like that.
Well, what do you think? And nobody's performing right now, and everybody's tours are messed up, but it must be difficult because you perform a lot. Well, it must be difficult not only for the money stream comes in from the tour and selling the merchandise there, but it must be difficult as a performer not to get that feedback from audiences.
It's, you know, I don't think anybody else has put a CD out during this pandemic. They asked me, the record company, we sat and talked about it. I said, you know what, I'm not really concerned if it doesn't make as good as the last one because people still need to be entertained. You know, they're going to want something.
Yeah.
So that's why we went ahead and did it. And it's definitely, you could feel it. There's definitely a big difference, you know. I mean, Lord mercy, I just went to Walmart earlier today. They're not even taking cash. You know what I'm saying? Who doesn't take cash?
Yeah. And Kroger's, I don't know where you shop for food, but Kroger's, which is big in where I live in Kentucky, they're not returning change anymore.
I mean,
it's like, well, I don't mind giving it to somebody. I never thought it would come to that. They don't have enough change to give it back when you buy something.
I know. I don't know. It's a different world. Even selling CDs with all the bands today, you know, the people don't buy the product off the tables like they used to because it's so available on the phone or
computers. Yeah, and they can pick and choose. They can take a couple songs, which I think is unfair to them. It's unfair to the artist, but I like to have what you put together here. I think I get an idea of why you put these things together, but I like to hear the whole effort because I think that the lineups and the arrangements and the people is part of a concept without having to say, beat somebody over the head and say, this is a concept album. I think there has to be some idea going in, and when you're finished, you're thinking, okay, this as a whole is what I want to do, and I don't want to do the one song at a time.
Right. And it's interesting. During this pandemic and everything for everybody, and the response I get on the CD now, you know, there's a few people that's like, why'd you do Broadway? I'm like, but they like it. And then there's some people that's like, you know what, though? I like it, though. I think it catches them off guard because they're like, what?
Next CD, throw in some rap songs from Hamilton. See if they
catch you know. I said something about that here not too long ago. Somebody throwed up that rap thing I did with Earl Scruggs on a YouTube video, and I was like, make it go away.
Well, I'm going to let you. I want you to introduce. We talked a little bit about Old Fashioned Heart. Talk about that tune. We'll play that song, and in the process of doing that, I'll say goodbye to Lizzie Long. Thanks so much for being available. I've enjoyed it immensely. Do a little intro to Old Fashioned Heart. We'll get that one in front of the audience, and then you can go around and do your business.
All right. Well, here's a song that I wrote with Joel and Lindsay and Wayne Hahn, and it talks about all the newer things and stuff that's going on in this world today. But I just wanted you all to know that I've got an Old Fashioned Heart.
Well, if anybody knows you and doesn't think that's accurate, then they need to hear this song to remind them because there's no question.
Yes,
Lizzie has an old-fashioned heart. You're an old-fashioned person, and I don't mean that as far as denigrate anything. I just think that your heart's
that
way.
I take that as a compliment. Yes,
well, good.
Sir.
Well, good. All right, Lizzie, we're going to play Old-Fashioned Heart from Dreaming Again. I'm going to let you go, Lizzie Long. Thanks so much. Don't be a stranger to Unreal Bluegrass. We'll talk again soon.
We'll be back again.
All right. See you. Bye.